morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Somewhat jet-lagged. I just got back this morning from Ireland. And so I've been gone for 2 weeks, and we have three activists here. They're going to, and Sedona citizens are going to update us on what's been happening with the kind of systematic Tea Party attempt to take over Sedona. Mike, my co-host is on the road. I think he's in Connecticut somewhere. There seems to be a lot of bars he's going to. So, where are we, folks? I've been gone for 2 weeks. Where do we want to start? I mean, when I came back in town, what I noticed first was all these signs along 89A opposing home rule, electing Tea Party candidates. Years ago, all the candidates agreed not to put signs there. I guess there's no ordinance that you can't, but they agreed, as gentlemen and gentlewomen, not to put signs there. Tea Party wouldn't have any part of that, and they've stuck their signs all over the place. So if you're driving through Sedona, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing only the Tea Party signs, the American Liberty signs, the so-called Libertarian signs. You're not seeing the signs from the other candidates. What's happening on home rule, Al? Let me introduce anyone. Barbara Luttrell. Barbara Luttrell's a long-time involvement in Sedona politics. She's a former city councilor. She's done a tremendous amount of good work in Sedona. Al is a designer and activist, and we want to talk about Al's running for fire board, which I think is wonderful. We've had past when the Tea Party's taken over the fire board, it's been a whole disaster that took a long time to undo. And then we have Kathy Kinsella. What's your story on you, Kathy? You're a dynamo.
I like to think of myself as a political observer.
All right, good. So Al, I guess start it, and then anybody can chime in. What happened with the home rule? Because the Tea Party was trying to sneak this thing on the ballot, right? It would make things really complicated.
Well, you know, I've been a student of Sedona politics since I got here 20 years ago. And I lived in the village for 17 years until about 5 months ago. I now live in the city of Sedona. But in truth, I have just watched politics like some people watch sports. And I have watched the city go through all their ups and downs and political races where people had agendas and private goals that they wanted to accomplish if they got voted in. And there's this thing that happens every 4 years called Sedona Home Rule, and basically it has passed pretty much with a wide margin every year, every 4 years that it is voted on. But this year it became a political issue, a football, that was picked up by a far right-wing group that had decided that if you could overturn home rule and throw the city into some sort of chaotic
economic chaos.
Where the city would basically have to reinvent itself based on
Half a budget.
Yes. That in fact, it would open the door for the savior to come in and protect the citizens with new city councilors that would understand that you can operate the city on a lot less money, and more importantly, that a certain group, a certain PAC that was created 3-4 years ago would have all the answers on how the city should be run and what kind of relationships it should have with organizations like the Chamber and the Tourism Bureau. But remember, this particular organization has its roots in the Sedona Tea Party created in 2010. And one of their officers was one of the original directors. And to this day, even his wife is still on the board of the Sedona Tea Party. But what is the Tea Party? It was actually created in 2008 by the Koch brothers through a Americans for Prosperity organization of their own. So as a consequence, we have actually a direct link between what the Koch brothers and the far-right conservatives in America are trying to do on a national stage right here in Sedona. So they took the home rule thing and came up with a rather clever campaign based on the idea that you could do something about traffic by voting no on home rule, when the truth is the exact opposite, that without home rule, you have actually no money to do anything about the challenges that we have because of this surge in growth of tourism.
Home rule, for people who have missed it, allows the city to set its own budget based on it, on the amount of money that it's collecting through taxes. More than 60% of the taxes are sales taxes collected from mostly from tourists. I keep repeating it, and we've done it over for years. There is no Sedona property tax, so the money comes like that. But they want to cut that. And Kathy, what do you think? They seem particularly aggressive this year. I come in and there's all these signs. They're violating kind of unwritten rules. They're doing some really, I won't call it nasty, but really, they're violating the kind of understanding, the kind of rules, the unwritten rules, how we did things. This sort of secret campaigns and all the rest of it.
There's been a lot of subterfuge about this as well. I mean, home rule is a question that people can reasonably discuss and take a position on if they want to. But then there are backdoor ways to accomplish the same goals, if you want, without it being identified correctly as a backdoor, such as the permanent base adjustment question that was being floated for the November ballot but has since not qualified. It will not be on the November ballot. But that really had the same end purpose as a no vote defeating home rule would have. It would tie the city's hands in terms of the amount of spending that they could accomplish. So that has not qualified for the ballot now. And it was put forward under the guise of, if home rule fails, that's bad for the city. So we're providing a safety net through this bill that will, you know, be higher than the state spending caps.
Let me ask you this. If Sedona by law has to have a balanced budget, what's the argument then for Sedona, the people, citizens of Sedona, not having control over their own budget and having people from the outside coming in? Barbara?
Well, I think part of it is also the agenda to eliminate tourism, or at least reduce tourism, which we all know we're going through an economic boom at the moment after having gone through years of a recession. And so Sedona was going to be enjoying a lot of revenue coming in right now because of an economic, we're doing so much better economically. But their whole philosophy, the right-wing philosophy, is that we should not be spending this money, and we should be lowering our taxes, lowering the bed tax, and so on, all of which is not affected by home rule. But there seems to be this idea out there that if home rule is defeated, that the city of Sedona will reduce taxes for the sales and bed tax, and that will make hotels and the rest do better. I mean, it's all distorted information.
But isn't that a weird idea that we want to cut taxes that we're not even paying?
Well, besides
that, it's mostly being paid by tourists. I'm astonished that they would go there.
I'm astonished that people buy into it. You know, they're not going to see a payoff. There's no benefit coming down the road if you vote no on home rule. It's only pain and suffering that will actually affect many, many people that live in Sedona. For example, let's say you like to take your kids to the Easter egg hunt every Easter. What if that had to be eliminated because the city couldn't afford a parks department, much less an Easter egg hunt? Those are small examples of what is coming on the other side of this rather distorted position on home rule.
But in addition to that, you have a lot of the numbers were distorted. I know I went to one of the meetings that they had where they were talking about the Sedona budget and Sedona expenditures over the past several years. But it was taken out of context, and I told them that at that meeting, that instead of looking at where we were before the recession, how we managed the recession, where we are now, they just started with the end of the recession and the fact that we are, of course, increasing some staffing, increasing budget, increasing revenues that are coming in. But Sedona is in the best shape that it has been in many years, and now is not the time. But they are distorting that.
The opposite.
They're arguing completely the opposite.
There's a terrible crisis of spending in Sedona.
Yes.
But there isn't, right?
The favorite words are out of control, and we have to get rid of everybody on the city council. And people buy into headlines today, and people don't go deep. And that's really why it's important for us to look at the facts. And I think the other part is how many of them have usurped social media.
Yes.
And so the debate on social media was really intense. And the League of Women Voters did host a forum where we had both sides, where the League had both sides there to discuss it. That's available online. That would give people a balanced view of, you know, what the reasons for home rule and if you want to vote against home rule.
Where is that? How would they find it, Barbara?
They can probably find it on the League of Women Voters website or Google it.
No, it's on SedonaHomeRule.com. SedonaHomeRule.com.
Thank you, Al.
You can watch the full hour and a half, and there's a playlist where you can actually listen just to the piece of the presentation that you want to. But it's all there, and you can hear both sides. There's no editing been done. This is just the what really happened.
It's the complete forum.
The complete forum, and it's on SedonaHomeRule.com, which is an information resource for the subject of home rule.
And these folks are supporting candidates for mayor, for 2-year city council, and for 4-year city council. Right,
yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
I mean, they've
That's
got,
right.
it's a quiet, I won't say it's, is it subterranean? It's not out in the public. They're presenting themselves, as Al was talking earlier before the show, they're presenting themselves as one way, but their private agenda is another.
Right. And it's also, it's long game. Yes, they're supporting candidates on the level of city council, but also for the fire board, which is sort of a, it's a bench-building, you know, positions. They've got their eye on the long game in terms of putting people in positions that will rise through the ranks of government and be able to agenda set. And just back to the home rule question for a moment, is you can see that link again back to the Tea Party, which the Tea Party platform of reducing government spending is the same line that's being used here locally about reducing government spending. The problem is that the collateral damage that will bring forward in Sedona is elimination of programs that benefit our community without being directly provided by the city, such as Humane Society services, public library services, the recycling center services, the community center, which has a lot of services for adults, seniors.
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels is part of that, exercise programs. I mean, all of these organizations get funding from the city in the small grants program, which would be a casualty of a reduced budget.
So my thing to I guess to all three of you, to Kathy first maybe, why would they want to do that? Because home rule would so extremely damage the city. And a lot of times the Tea Party stuff is very gradual. They build up this hatred of the federal government, then they build up a hatred. Now they're building the... They're using the same tactics of hate and distortion, and I think, frankly, lies about the Sedona city government that they do about the federal government and pretty much anyone who attempts to do anything for anyone else.
You bring about the big picture. You know, we have a local Tea Party leader who lives in the village. And he has worked diligently.
Not in Sedona city limits. Not
no.
a Sedona citizen.
He can't vote for home rule, yes or no. To paint a picture of the city totally mismanaged, employees are lazy, people are paid too much, the staff doesn't know what they're doing, and paints a picture that the city's effort to handle tourism in balance with all of our community needs is pointless. It's a waste of money, and of course, he knows better. They are self-appointed experts in everything. And keep remembering, the leader of this effort, at least the spokesman for this effort, is not even a Sedona resident. And of course, he paints another picture that the relationship between the city and the chamber and the visitor bureau are illegal and misuse of funds, and there is virtually no oversight.
Let me ask
all
you
of
about
which
that.
Are lies.
Let me ask you about this. At the last minute, they dropped a lawsuit against the city. You can tell me, but they left out big chunks of relevant information, right, Kathy? And tell us a little bit what they tried to do with this lawsuit.
SB 1487 complaints allow any state senator or any state representative to file a complaint to the Attorney General's office. Bob Thorpe is our local representative. Bob Thorpe forwarded to Judy Burgess, who's a representative out of Peoria, a complaint that he did not file himself, but he actually worked with this other out-of-area representative's office to file a complaint against the city for incorrectly gifting funds to the Chamber of Commerce. Now, the complaint that was supplied left out four pages. Those four pages specifically speak to the metrics, the information that is required by the chamber to give to the city, prove it four times a year, that it's meeting the requirements of the contract. This is a contracted service for the Tourism Bureau that the chamber runs for the city under contract. So it's also thought that there are some sort of thumbprint signs, so to speak, on the wording and gaps and typos that this was provided to Bob Thorpe by another party. So again,
but he hid his connection originally. When I originally heard about
yes.
it, I mean, she's a Tea Party person out
yes.
of Glendale, I mm-hmm. think it is. And she's known as a little bit, you know, sort of like some of our representatives in terms of the activity. But Bob Thorpe hid his act, his role in trying to destroy Sedona city government, and he's our representative.
I want to point out that this is the same Bob Thorpe who attempted to introduce legislation that would exempt their personal cell phones from being subject to freedom of information requests. It's the same Bob Thorpe who did that, went through a backdoor channel to introduce a complaint against a city in his own constituency, his own taxpayers, his own residents, voters, citizens, that he's trying to file a backdoor complaint through another senator.
I think another point, too, is the use of words. Throughout all of their complaints about the city working with the Chamber of Commerce, they keep using the word gift, that the city gifts the chamber $2 million a year for destination marketing. Gift is the wrong word, but imagine what gift does to you when you hear it. And
why are we giving them $2 million?
And that's why, well, the whole idea of gifting the chamber, and I've tried to correct that several times on social media to say that this is a contract. It has two parties that have entered into a contract with responsibilities and accountability on both sides. That's pretty deep. But the use of that word gift is, this is just one more way that you see, as with the signs, you know, vote no on traffic, vote no on home rule, or say no to traffic, vote no on home rule. It builds into your brain something, but it's the wrong information. And, you know, I guess in this world of hearing about fake news and all of these things, the manipulation of the mind is really important. And they talk about choice, and they talk about freedom, and they talk about citizens' choices. But it's like what they do on a national level when they don't want anyone to have health care that's provided by the government. They talk about citizen choice for health care. But that means that you're going to have to go buy your own health care.
I guess what astonishes me, Barbara, and other panelists here, is it's so obviously a contract. I mean, it takes you 5 minutes to look and see that it's a contract.
Unless you leave four pages intentionally out of a filing.
Yeah.
It shows you the parameters of the contract.
And the city's had a partnership of sorts with the chamber, and even before it was a city, for 55 years. One way or the other, we've recognized that tourism was the butter on the bread that made the engine of Sedona work. As a matter of fact, the founding of the city as a city wouldn't have worked without the revenue stream that came in from an active tourism industry. I find it interesting that we live in a time when the truth really doesn't matter, and you can convince people to vote against the best interest if you have an argument that sounds palatable.
Dog whistles. If you have the right dog whistles, you can say anything. And so I think what I get from Barbara is this is preposterous to call it a gift, and yet they're doing an entire campaign. They don't care about the facts, I think.
And the funny thing is Mr. Bob Thorpe, who is a representative of LD6, which is Sedona, Verde Valley, you know, the, what represents us. He had an article in the Arizona Sun, the newspaper up in Flag, just a few days ago, really talking about his passing on of this complaint, and eventually got to the Attorney General. He was scolding Sedona for its relationship with the chamber, saying up in Flagstaff, the Flagstaff chamber is totally independent and runs its own budget. You know what? That's true. But he forgets to say that the city of Flagstaff has its own tourism organization that they run as a city, and they fund with $3 million a year. The point is, you can lie and get away with it, but sooner or later, somebody figures out that you are deliberately choosing your facts and hoping that people never question
the
other side.
That's just astonishing, Al, that he would leave out the part. So a city can do all the tourism it wants as itself, or it can hire somebody else to do it. And
exactly.
Cities do both, right? I mean, it's not a big controversial thing. I'm just astonished at the level of which the truth gets turned upside down.
Well, and the fact that people are so busy today, they don't take the time to go deep on various issues. I get calls all the time of people asking me, what's the deal with home rule? I mean, having been on city council and my number being in a lot of different places, people call and email and they want to know. So I'm happy that people want to know, because that gives us an opportunity to talk about it. But, you know, on balance, people are running their lives and they're just getting headlines here and there. And that's why the choice of words, the headlines, the signs, you know, there's a whole ethical question here about what is right. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, where is truth? Why are we not having good civil dialogue that uses the right information? We all know when a fact is a fact and when the truth is the truth. And distorting it is where we are right now. And
I guess
that's
my answer to
Sedona.
That would be that we're not having a good civil dialogue because it wouldn't benefit them. It wouldn't be into their advantage. Because they're basically lying about everything. If you're turning everything upside down and distorting everything, a civic dialogue, no matter how pleasant and calm and rational, is not a good place. It's not something you're going to want to do.
I know, but keep in mind, this is a long-term program for the GOP at this point, for the Republican Party, because what you're looking at is you've got the national level, the state level, the local level. All right. So when you look, they identified several years ago that the state level was where so much of it belonged. They worked at getting people elected at the state level to then take away power from the local levels. And we've seen that in this area as well. We saw it with the vacation rentals. We saw it with plastic bags. Other cities in Arizona have seen the same thing, where the municipal power has been preempted by the state. I mean, it's a definite program called preemption. And it's where the state takes away the power from the city to make its own laws. And that's a very dangerous place for us to be, because the city is the place of the most direct democracy.
It's also hypocritical, because you've got the whole keep government out of our business, the whole platform of the Tea Party when it started, right? One of the amendments that they cared very much about was states' rights, right? So here they are, though, on the local matter, being okay with the fact that the state can interfere with local government policies.
Right.
Short-term rentals is a good example, but the plastic bags is a great example. A city wants to take a position on plastic bags within their municipality. The state saying that that's not in the state's best interest, the state saying that they have to intervene, that that's some sort of, uprising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, the inconsistency in the platforms, to say we think the government needs to stay out of local business. Oh, except for the fact that since we see that there's a government here and that we've been able to put in place on the state level that benefits a few interests on various local levels, so therefore they want to protect that. The inconsistency is what I really would hope that people would be able to identify and see.
I think Sylvia Allen, when people make fun of her 6,000-year stuff, but what Sylvia Allen really is an absolutist about states' rights. You'd hardly think there was a Constitution of the United States. You would think we were living under the Articles of Confederacy if you listened to her view of what state rights are. State rights have the right to all the public lands in Arizona that belong to the American people. And that would be, they don't belong to the state. They don't belong just to us who live nearby. We get the more benefit, right? but they belong to the American people, and they're held in trust, really, by the federal government.
And we do have a representative system of government here where you elect people, in this case, city council and a mayor, and they represent your interest when they go through the day-to-day duties of being an elected person. We do have a city manager form of government where you hire a city manager who is skilled in the whole world of government and operation of a large organization like a city. But the city council does establish policy and can actually help steer the city in the right direction if they feel that the city has gone the wrong direction. But in that regard, I just need to say, I've lived here 20 years, and I've gone to great lengths to be friends of everybody. Some of my best friends are, I'm going to use the word, Republicans. And we know that we're on the difference in sides of points of view. But this particular approach to the lack of truth and candid dialogue towards something as critical as the core foundation of the way the city operates, and that's what home rule represents, is just gone too far. And I know I'm going to lose friends over this, and I know that I'm going to become a target since I have decided that I am going to run for a public office with the fire board.
So, Al, the Republicans, when I moved here, the Republicans Men's Club invited me to their meetings, and I knew all those guys, and we talked and stuff. Maybe they're still there, but for all intents and purposes, the Republican Party in Sedona has been replaced by the Tea Party, right, and Koch brothers founded extremist groups.
That's true, even though most of the people I know that what I would call, you know, a good old-fashioned conservative don't necessarily listen to the Tea Party rhetoric. They're just allowing it to happen by not speaking up. I mean, there's a lot of conservative thoughts inside my head when it comes mm-hmm. to society. I'm very pro-business, and there are some environmental things that I don't agree with. But the truth is, this is a city. We all got to get along. And, you know, one way or the other, we don't want to live in a town that has been commandeered by a few people who had a private agenda to bring in far-right conservative principles for the day-to-day operation of our city, our school district, and this fire district. All of those things affect the quality of life of everyday people here. We all talk about the traffic like it's the end of the world. And I admit, when I get caught in traffic, I'm upset too. But it's not something I can't learn to live with and adjust my lifestyle so I can get to the grocery store without standing in line.
I just want to comment on the traffic, because I've listened to a number of the candidates who have been supported by Arizona Liberty talking about traffic. And, you know, the city did a program where they did several years of research on a traffic system that includes about 12 or 13 different items that they're now beginning to implement and that they've set aside budgeting for. And when I heard candidates talk about the city plan for trafficking, words like, it won't work, it's too expensive, it's ridiculous, I have an easy plan, we're going to do, you know, timed lights, that kind of thing, just showed the lack of information and the lack of involvement. And I know I asked several people at one of the meetings, did you go to any of the city meetings on traffic planning? The answer was no, but they have the answer to it. And I think that is really dangerous, where we have people acting like traffic engineers who know nothing about what has happened in the city and what the research has been.
They have already retimed the lights, and you get
it's part
what
of the
it
plan.
Is, it's a thousand little fixes to get the traffic to work better. So the idea that they have a secret plan that for almost no money will
right.
solve the traffic
exactly.
problem of Sedona,
exactly.
for no money, I've got a secret plan, but I can't tell you what it is because you'll steal it and claim it because it's
and
so wonderful.
And people are still talking about the connector roads as though they are part of the plan. And the city has actually taken that off the table. And I saw someone on social media the other day saying, I'm voting no on home rule because of that connector thing. And, you know, I wrote, that is off the table. It isn't just on the back burner. It's off the table because the city did hear the complaints from people about it and felt, okay, we're not pursuing that one.
Yeah, and I got arguments yesterday on the social media claiming that the connector roads were really for the tourists to get around the traffic. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I mean, the connector roads, for example, the one up at the top of Mountain Shadows connecting Coffee Pot Road is a road of about 400 feet long that was added back when I got here in 98, 99, and it is used every day by the residents of Sedona. If you tried to explain to a tourist how to even find it, you'd be lucky.
I think that's an excellent point. It's, again, turning truth on its head. Thank you for being with us, Barbara. I know you have to get off to a meeting.
Enjoy the rest of the conversation.
So I guess, you know, arriving here from 2 weeks away, and Ireland's now a very peaceful, gentle place with friendly people, and arriving back to all of this, I mean, we're in Ireland, people kind of commiserate with us as Americans because of Donald Trump. And they do it very gently, but they feel sorry for us. And it's kind of a strange feeling. We come back to this ferocious politics, Kathy. And I don't know what we can do about it because, look, it is really, and I don't want to be the hardball guy here, it's really not in their interest to have a civil dialogue because they're distorting the facts. And the more they talk on a calm level, the more they'll be exposed.
And I've owned my home here for 8.5 years, and I've just never seen Sedona this divided. It's really sad that people can't have the conversations that they need to have. Whatever happens on the various issues and whoever is elected, it affects us all. I mean, we're still all one community. So it's really a shame that there's not a dialogue. I come from a place, I've worked in city government in New York, I've worked in state government in New York, and I worked in small town government in New York. And, you know, one of the things that I personally was proud of in a town in New York was that when I was elected to office, I was cross-endorsed by by parties, which is something that can't happen in Arizona. But there was a way of people getting together and working together on agendas, understanding that we're a community. That seems to be lacking here because, again, going back to the PBA that was going to be on the November ballot, putting it forth as a way saying it's a safety net because if home rule fails, it's a disaster. Well, then shouldn't the people, if that was really the intent, be saying now, okay, so that's not there as an option in November. Shouldn't we be behind home rule now? But they're not. There's still this division about home rule, which just proves that was a backdoor attempt. So when people aren't being honest with you about their intentions, when they're putting something forward, that really has a long-term harm on a community. Neighbors to neighbors, trust, values, working together on committees going forward. I mean, there's really a lot of damage that can be done here.
Yeah, I think that's the sort of key to it, that the breakdown of dialogue. But the truth is, if you're running surreptitious candidacy for a bunch of candidates, you're supporting them, and then you're going to spark the guys on the other side who see that you're running a bunch of Tea Party candidates, and so they're going to get together and support the non-Tea Party candidates, and then it gets out of hand. But I can remember when we had calm dialogues with one of the former councilmen. We had very different ideas about the Constitution, my interpretation. We had a good conversation. He came over and said to me, I disagree with you completely, but I respect your opinion. I said, I respect your opinion, and I think, you know, I think that's just gone, Al.
It is, and I have things in my head that I know that are the truth, and I keep thinking, what do I say and not say? But let's just take this effort to put an initiative on on the election in November for the permanent base adjustment. This was an effort where they needed around 600 or 400 signatures. And they paint the picture that this was a community outreach. It wasn't. There were 8 paid circulators. Paid circulators, most from Phoenix, that came up, that joined some of the volunteers, admittedly, to get the needed signatures. One of those paid circulators got 180 signatures. One human being. Now, I'm going to suggest that they're pretty good at getting signatures, no matter what they have to say to get them.
My co-host ran into a beautiful young woman
who asked for his signature on it at the library. And he came back out of the library later, and she was getting into a Lamborghini and heading off into the sunset. So I don't know what's going on, Al.
Well, it's just that it's disingenuous to pretend that this is a community outreach when it was really a campaign run by two people to create an initiative, which, by the way, has never done. In the history of the state of Arizona, the permanent base adjustment has never gone to the electorate as an initiative. It's always been the initiative of the local government, the city council, because they wanted to pursue the permanent base adjustment.
And frankly, they set the limit so high that they never interfere with what they're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Matter of fact, the idea of a PBA being less than what you're already spending is obviously a ploy to put the city in into extreme limitations on how they would spend money and actually kill most of the transportation budget that was created, it's called Sedona in Motion, through the increase in sales tax of 0.5%. They wouldn't even be able to spend a penny of it.
You've worked with both Republicans and Democrats in their campaigns. You're in business in Sedona, and you've decided to run for the fire board. And I think you're right. You're going to be the target of a lot of stuff. And you're someone who basically is friends with everybody, right?
I mean, yeah, it's been my personality my whole adult life. Heck, even in high school. You know, I just like being liked, and I like people that like what I like. I mean, but I
Running for fire board.
Yes, I am. And it's an election on November 6th. We've already gathered enough signatures, so just a matter now of putting together a campaign, I suppose. I ran for city council when I was 25, so this is the last time that was the last time I ever was on a ballot, but I believe I'm practical and sensible and reasonable, and I know how to get along with people, and I would be a good voice on the fire board, but I am there because, quite frankly, the fire board is in their gun sights also, in the fire district to be make sure that the fire district, which is really the lifeline for all of us. I mean, when your ticker starts giving you trouble, you want that ambulance there in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And you don't want anybody telling you, well, they're not here because we cut the budget, because we wanted to save some money, and so the ambulance had to come from a little bit further away.
And they took over the fire board once before, and it was a huge disaster and a scandal, and they had to resign and stuff. So Al's running for the fire board. What does that mean, Kathy? What's going to happen to him for stepping up and trying to be a public servant? It's an unpaid job, I believe, right?
Listen, I'm broke all the time because everything I do for free.
Well, I mean, it's great when good people step up to run, and when people step up to run from the heart to say, I have something that I can bring in and add, and they want to be there because they're reasonable people that listen to all sides and evaluate, and they just want to do the job. And I think it's great that Al's stepping up to run for this, and I'm very appreciative. Thank you for that. And hopefully there'll be a lot of forums that can be provided here in the community as well to get that word out about the issues that face. Because when you ask the, you know, average person, hey, you know, sign this petition to get so-and-so to run for the fire board. What's the fire board? We have a fire board? You know, where does that money come from? What is that? They think it's the city. I had somebody ask me yesterday, I don't understand on all this question of home rule. If we vote it down, the money can go to the school. No, it can't go to the school. There's a lack of understanding about politics because it's multi-layered. Politics, national, state, local, and then local boards. And, you know, but we're hoping that, you know, people like Al will have a voice to be able to be out there, explain what's done, bring it back to a sense of community, say, this is how we need to work together. These are the things that need to be done. And hopefully he'll have a platform to be able to explain all that.
I can't think of a better candidate.
And I hope I do. And, I do think that the nature of politics is compromise, it's debate, it's analysis, and it's having resources like experts. I'm going to be first to admit I am not an expert in anything that has to do with a fire department or a fire system, but I can learn. And I can learn just as I've learned how other things operate. I am very familiar with much more of how the city operates itself, and I believe that the city is not broken. If anything, the current city council works very well together, and they know how to compromise and take advice from people that are experts in the field. So I think that the fire board is really in the same place. They have access to also experts that can help them through the day-to-day decisions that they have to make.
So you don't have a secret plan to solve all the problems of the fire board that you won't tell us about that won't cost any money?
No, that's very much the truth.
And we do have candidates saying that about traffic. They actually do say things very close to that.
Which that goes back to what you said that was great, Steve, because, yes, we have people out there who know what's going on. We have a professional government in Sedona. It's one of the great things about Sedona is that the people that have been hired for the various positions know what they're doing. They've been trained. They have a background in budgeting, in government policy, in capital planning. You know, they know how to run a city. I mean, and to go back to a cut city staff, and let's go back to basically a volunteer. I think the stipend for a council member is negligible. Let's go back to volunteers without expertise, without proper training, making decisions about millions of dollars, you know, that affect, again, the quality of our life here. And at the moment, we have a government that's set up and serves our public very well. And to see that undercut is really disheartening.
It is disheartening just to have the rhetoric out there. And I mean, I assume they're doing the same thing with the fire board. Or, well, let's have a volunteer fire department, though I haven't heard anybody say that. They haven't been that extreme. It's sort of hard to take in. And when you step back, it's astonishing that home rule is even being debated, frankly.
It is illogical, really. I do think that the permanent base adjustment, properly vetted and thought through, might be a great option for Sedona in 2020.
I agree.
And I certainly hope that the city council studies that along with the city staff to see if that is a better option. This every 4 year thing is really kind of silly, but it has passed almost every time in the state of Arizona. Matter of fact, there are 52 cities that have home rule. And in the last 32 years, there's been 416 elections by millions of people, and only twice has it ever been voted no. Once was in Sedona in its early days and in the city of Gilbert, which, by the way, threw the city into absolute turmoil until 2 years later they got home rule back on the ballot and it passed.
When you start talking to people about home rule out there and the various state spending limits, PBA, permanent base adjustment, and home rule, and you get into it, the most frequent question that I've gotten from people is, well, why do we have to vote on that? Like, doesn't that just make sense? Why would we have to vote on that?
Because it's very, very stupid to have to do it.
Right.
What, you know, Sedona politics has often been slightly different views of things by the environmentalists and the business community, mm-hmm. and the Democrats and the Republicans. But here we have the business community, the environmentalists, the Democrats, everybody but the Tea Party on one side. We have a bunch of Democrats defending the Chamber of Commerce, the local Chamber of Commerce. All right, we've got 2 minutes. A last comment from each one of you.
Oh, well, the best thing about this is that there has been a lot of civic engagement. Some of it, unfortunately, hasn't been straightforward and honest, and a lot of it has been misleading. But it's gotten people involved in a new way. It's people are talking about it. These words that should be in our vocabulary are now entering our vocabulary. People are trying to understand the difference in the way things operate in the city.
Allie, last word?
Yeah, well,
I don't mean last words in the final sense.
No, I know. I'm going to have to buy a flak jacket. I understand. You know, this home rule vote is a litmus test. If it fails, we're handing the keys to the city over to a far-right wing group that wants to take control. And if you really want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and throw the city into turmoil, then vote no. But if you really want to send this group of bandits a message, they're not welcome here, vote yes. I think home rule is just a dodge and an excuse to get the public fighting amongst themselves, when in fact the city works best when we all know how to work together as friends, and debate with facts.
Barbara Luttrell said it before, go deep. Okay, that people don't like to go deep on the issues. And of course, it's difficult. It's time consuming. But really, I would like to urge everybody to go deep on the issues. It matters. It matters very much.
If anybody, if you see the signs along 89A, and you see all those names there and all those signs advocating something, do the opposite. Don't vote for any of them. Because what's happening is that conservatives are becoming extreme about the way they play the game. And conservatism as an ideology is kind of fading. Tune in next week, folks. This and all our shows are on bvid.org.
Brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.